Good morning. Good morning. In case you haven't figured it out already, I'm Rob Geyer, and I'm delighted to be here with you, and I want to welcome you and some special guests that I invited today, so I'm very glad to see my special guests. I want to thank Reverend Crystal for the invitation to spend some time talking to you about my book, Little Buddha, Book One, and I want to express my gratitude to all of you for the love and support that you've given me for the 6 years that Maureen and I have been coming here. Deeply appreciate that. The story of Little Buddha arrived about 4 years ago. It just came inside me, and I was listening, so I wrote down what it is that I heard. It starts off with a beautiful 6-year-old girl, and she's at the water's edge, summertime, she's at the beach. She's playing like little 6-year-olds would. And there's a man, Sam, who's watching her. And he cannot, for the life of him, figure out what it is that she's doing. He lives mostly in his head, and he doesn't get it. So he walks over and he asks her a question. And the answer that she gives him confuses him even more. He sees her the next day, and the next day, and he asks her each day. He decides, though, that she seems very wise, and so he decides that he's going to ask her a troublesome question from his life, a question about forgiveness. And the answer that he receives is profound and overwhelming to him. It really challenges his whole mindset. So he's struggling with the idea of whether or not a person 6 years old could be that wise. And he comes to decide that she is. And so he asks her to be his mentor. And he's searched for a mentor all of his life. So the story goes on from there. I want to start with a confession. It's a scary proposition to speak your truth out loud in front of everyone. And I wonder, how will you view me? And will it change the way you see me? But the truth of it is, that's not up to me. That's up to you. The real question for me is it time for me to wake up? To believe all of God's promises, that I am part of the one, inseparable and limitless, and I can do or be anything? My answer is yes. You know what? Your answer can be yes, too. During the writing of Little Buddha Book One, I discovered many things. I discovered the role and the value that fear plays in my life. It was really quite a surprise to me. In the story, Claire, who was little Buddha, her cousin Michael tells Sam, "Fear is not real. It is there for us to push against and to point the way toward love. It is our choice how to see things." I learned that all fears unerringly point the way toward love. So now when I start to feel fear, I remember that, and I look for the message for me, from me. And I also discovered the role and the value of ego, which was really quite a huge surprise to me. Because I've spent years struggling with the whole concept of ego. Ego's really felt very separate from me. And it's also felt like an opponent. And so I tried to ignore it, and I tried to release it, and I tried to kill it, and nothing worked. Until one day, while I was writing the book, I realized that ego has a very beneficial role to play in my life. That it helps me so that I recognize what life is really more about. And I discovered that ego is a great navigator and a terrible driver. So I don't let ego drive. I try to let it navigate. We've become more friends. During the writing, I also affirmed many things. I affirmed that for me, I refer to God as mother, father, and also mother, father, sister, brother. And I've affirmed, because it's felt all the way through the writing of this, that God's love is unconditional. There are no requirements to live in a certain way, and there are no demands to be met. There's nothing specific I have to do in order to be loved or to be worthy of being loved. I came to realize that Mother, Father loves me just as I am. And also, it occurred to me that as a human, we see things through Earth's view, but that God sees it through heaven's view. God's love is pure and complete and absolute. Now, I know that there is pain and suffering in the world. At times, there's lots of it. It's very challenging to understand it and even more challenging to accept it. Part of the problem is that, at least for me, I have a tendency to immediately label any experience as good or bad. Claire and Sam have many conversations about this. And Claire tells Sam that immediately labeling an experience makes it impossible to see any value in it or any important message it has to offer. And I'd like to share a personal experience with you that happened last week. Maureen and I were on vacation in San Francisco. It's marvelous there. We were having such a good time. But on Friday morning, I experienced a back spasm. That's really painful. And ordinarily, my immediate reaction would be to label it as bad. But in this case, I would have labeled it very bad. We still had 3 days worth of full activities planned, a lot to do, a lot of things that we had wanted to do, and there was no chiropractor in sight. Any of the movements that I made, sitting or standing, walking, it was all painful. But for the first time in my entire life, I delayed labeling. And I sat with the pain, and I discerned, what is the message here for me? And here's what I discovered. The first thing I discovered was that I have a choice how to perceive events. I'm not locked in to one way. I don't have to go with my immediate reaction. And I saw that stepping back from labeling created space for me to realize I am in charge of my attitude. And I learned to breathe into the pain, to move with it instead of against it. And I found that breathing into my pain was a way of loving my body and allowing the release of the pain. And I found that while I was breathing, I was very present in the now, not something I'm accustomed to. And this simplified things for me because I wasn't thinking about the past or the future. I was just thinking about that one moment. In that space, being present in the now, you experience one single moment followed by another single moment. And what I found was that there were moments I was not in pain. The timing, the event, with no chiropractor available to me, allowed me to see from a different perspective. It's a place where I realized it's all up to me. And these insights were indeed what one of my mentors, Napoleon Hill, if you don't know about him, you can Google him, he's fantastic. It's what he would call the seeds of equivalent or greater value that rest inside of any experience that you have. So what I decided to do was I created what I call a celebration journal. I have a special book, and in there I record the insights, like the eight I just mentioned to you. What it does for me is it allows me a place to go to look at what's happened in the past so that I can build on the future. It's really a wonderful practice. I really like it. But I want to share with you about my relationship with Mother, Father, because everything in my life is an outgrowth of that relationship. I've been having intimate conversations with God for over 20 years. They're not monologues. It's not where I say something and hope that God will say something back. It's not where I sit and just listen. It's a dialogue. It's a two-way street where we both speak and we both listen. And I can tell you, during those 20 years, there has never been one harsh or judgmental word from God. God's voice is always loving and compassionate and encouraging and caring. Sometimes God's voice is firm, but I need firm sometimes. Maybe you do too. But I always feel a oneness, and I know that I am inseparable. And I always receive answers to all of my questions. And here's another thing that I know. This same relationship is available to you. I want to ask Sherry to come up because this is a photo op. I want to ask you a favor now. I'd like you to put on the sunglasses that you got. And if you're one of those that did not get the sunglasses, we have our beautiful ushers who are going to pass one out to you. While they're doing that, I'll tell you a funny story. I actually purchased 96 pair of sunglasses, and they were individually wrapped. Kind of a surprise to me. I thought they'd just be in one big package, but no, they weren't. So what ended up happening was I thought, well, this is going to take a while. I'll get out my scissors and I'll start in. And I started slitting them. Halfway through, I discovered there was already one end that was wide open. Yep. But you know what? That's a learning for me, too. Life isn't always as hard as I make it to be. This is my opportunity to remind you of who you are. You're radiant beings made entirely of love. And you are so brilliant, we need sunglasses to look at each other. So I'm going to ask Sherry to make sure that she's got this photo, and I don't have a pair.
How'd that happen, Rob? Sunglasses.
All right, Sherry.
You got sunglasses? All right, Rob. Perfect.
These are my gift to you as a reminder. You can take them off now if you want to, now that we got the photos. Thank you very much for complying. See, these sunglasses, put them in a place so that you can remind yourself of how brilliant and radiant you are. So this is how God sees you. I want to read a poem to you now. I wrote this during the last meditation session that I had during a workshop last October. And it was with Tama Keeves, and if you've been here off and on, you'll know that I tried to get her to come here, and that attempt failed, and for good reason, but I'm not giving up. I'm going to get her back here, because she is outstanding. I'm going to love her. But this happened, and I want to ask you to close your eyes to listen to this. And I'm going to ask that you hear and feel and embrace these words as if they're your own, as if this is about you. Because I want you to know this is how much you're loved. For the first time in my life, I gave permission to all of my spirit guides to come and stand behind me. And immediately, guides were there, pushing and shoving to stand behind me. A great crowd arrived, and one said, "They've emptied heaven to stand with him." And still more came. I was crying so hard now, tears of joy. And they lifted me up and held me over their heads, effortlessly on hands of light, and passed me around as if I were as light as a feather. It was the most beautiful thing. And I heard many shouting, "He's back. Come see, he's back." And heaven lit up, and I could feel it. They all loved me. Truly loved me. An overwhelming love, so beautiful I never wanted to leave. I asked one of them, "Can I come home like this anytime I want to?" "Yes," they said, "please do." And I asked, "Will it be more vivid each time I come home?" "Yes," they all said. Amen. I want to encourage you to live your life from the inside out, from your pure and sacred heart, to feel your connection to God, and to let your love overflow from you into the world. And I have two invitations. You kind of heard them already, but I'm going to repeat them just in case. There will be a little Buddha book study. It is going to be Wednesday nights, and it's going to be from 7 to 8:30. It's going to start September 13th, and it's going to go through December 6th. There'll be only two Wednesday nights that will be off, October 18th and November 22nd. And each week, there'll be a meditation, and then a chapter reading, and then a shared discussion to delve deeper into the story. And in between the sessions, you'll have your own opportunity, if